something tonight that should be a foundation in our lives. Should be a foundation in our lives as Christians. Should be the way we think. Should be the way we operate. Should be the way we live. Now, I'm only saying that because it should be. I'm not saying yay or nay with you. I'm just saying it should be. And I'm still kind of talking about resurrection stuff, and this is more, this is actually the title of my message tonight is Life After the Resurrection. And Paul made this statement in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Now listen. And the life which I now live in the flesh. All right, now this is what I want to talk about tonight. The life that I now live in the flesh is different than the life I used to live. If you're a Christian, you better be saying amen. It is different. Say, well, you know, I go back and forth. Well, I'm going to talk to you about that. Amen. Because, I mean, as a pastor, I know that happens. But we can't live that way. And I believe in the coming hours, dawning of the last of the last of the last hours, that we are in a place where we've got to know, listen, how we're living. And a lot of times, people want to excuse living for gracing. Well, we're saved by grace. I know, but that doesn't mean you don't live right. And the living right is not it is a law. It's a law of the new covenant. It's not an Old Testament law. It's the way God built us to live after the resurrection. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now listen, that's a life. That's not just a scripture, that's a life. It's like Taylor, my son, one time when he was little, I was preaching, and after I got through on the way home, he said, Daddy, was that true or were you just preaching? And I said, well, son, they're both in the same, I hope. They're both in the same. No, we have a different life. We have a new life. And we've got to understand that it's our responsibility to live that life. Well, but nobody's perfect. Well, quit riding that dead horse. I mean, you might as well get over that. Amen. Just get over nobody's perfect. Just leave that alone. That has nothing to do with the life that I now live in the flesh. God knows you're not perfect. But he's looking, listen to me, he's looking for action. Yeah, amen. So what does this life look like that I'm talking about? I'm not talking about some spooky spiritual holier than thou walking on a cloud and going, ooh, I feel the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about basic, bottom line, word obeying Christianity. Okay. Amen. Hey, I love it when the Holy Spirit's moving. I love it when the Spirit of God is doing things. That's awesome. But listen, you better have the basics or that'll ruin you. That'll ruin your life. So it all revolves around the resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Might what? Live for righteousness. Live righteousness. Amen? Live right. Jesus paid the debt of sin so we can live right. Okay, so just hang with me. 1 Peter 1, 3 says this, listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Through a living hope. Wait a minute, that's not right. Yeah, okay. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we live a different life through the resurrection. Through the resurrection. Now stick with me, okay? So, first of all, God knew you could not live this new life on your own. I probably wouldn't have made it a month if I hadn't gotten saved. I had the conviction. Amen. But I had to act on that conviction and get saved. See, a lot of people just act on the conviction and then it wanes and they're still the same person they used to be. How many of you have heard me tell people, you know, when you lift your hand, you can just soothe your conscience. But an act of faith can get you saved. Amen. There's a big difference. God knew we couldn't do this on our own. So he told Nicodemus this. He said, you must be born again. You must become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what does that imply? Old things pass away. All things become new. Now, how many of you noticed when you got saved that it didn't just all disappear overnight? Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you about that tonight. I want you to understand something. But we have a responsibility as born-again Christians, new life Christians. Thank you, sweetie. Amen. We have a responsibility. You can't just kind of put it on cruise control. Well, I'm saved. I'm on cruise control. I'm a good person. Well, you were probably a good person before you got saved. You hadn't done nothing. Let's try to improve a little bit. Let's try to do more. Well, you're just trying to put me in bondage. No, I'm really trying to set you free. Because listen to me. What you're going to find out is if you don't, then you will constantly, like I was preaching Sunday, your soul will be at war in your life. There'll be battles all the time that don't have to be there in your life. I think what the problem is you remember Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he couldn't do anything. You know why? Because he still had his grave clothes on. And there are a lot of Christians who celebrate the resurrection, but they're still in their old dead grave clothes. What should have died and disappeared, they're still wearing. And I think sometimes we need to remember where we came from. Why? So you can release it. You know, I every once in a while, everybody is nostalgic. You know, they talk about the old days and all that. But I tell you, I'm real cautious about it. I don't get caught up in the old days. Amen. Because those old days, hey, that old man's dead. And if you're not careful, you'll resurrect him. How do you know? I see it. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen it happen way too many times. Hey, one of my best friends, I saw that happen to him. He was always talking about he didn't use this term, but bottom line, you'll understand it, the good old days. Well, what were they? Well, you know, we used to party, we used to do this, we used to do this, and we used to do all these things. But you know, you start doing that, and all of a sudden, you know, it says over in Hebrews chapter 11, if you look back, God, the enemy will make a way back. Amen. Oh yeah, he'll make a way back. Absolutely. And if you're not careful, you'll take that path. But that's not what God wants for us. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read all of this beginning in verse 9. Listen to this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? All right, you want to know what's unrighteous? This is part of it. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, isn't that interesting? Drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You can't live that way and think you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, God loves me anyway. God loves you, and he manifested that love through his son Jesus to set you free from those things. Now listen, that's not the whole list. Okay, that's not my goal tonight to read you all the bad stuff, but somewhere we gotta look back. Because I remind myself, because I know that old man, and he's dead. I mean, you know, you've heard the saying, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Devil, why would I want to go back to something that God delivered me out of? So Paul, he wrote all of these things, okay? Well, what's your opinion about homosexuality? Well, I just read it to you. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. God loves everybody. But you have to understand an unrighteous life is an unrighteous life. But I know somebody like that. Well, I do too. More than one. Okay? And I pray that their eyes be opened. So I'm not being critical of somebody. And I love them. I don't love what they do, but I love them. I mean, my dad was a drunkard. I know what that's all about. I know that life. And I loved him. And he got saved. And you know what? He quit drinking. Isn't it interesting? He didn't stay that way. It's because that's not part of our life. Listen, I love this, verse 11. Such were some of you. So I like what Paul said. He made this list. And he said, some of you were like that. And I have to tell you, I'm on that list, and I ain't telling you where. Such were some of you, but now listen, but you were washed. You were sanctified, separated from that. You were justified, made right in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. See, this is just what the world, you want to know what the world produces. I just read some of it. The world doesn't produce righteous people. It just doesn't. It doesn't mean that there aren't good people, even people who have good morals in their lives in certain areas. But if you're, they can be corrupted. Amen. So you have to understand that that's what the world produces. Such were some of us, but we were washed. Let me give you even a darker picture. Isn't this fun? Amen. Listen, just remember, such were some of you. All right? Not who you are now. Such were some of you. Okay? This is not who you are now. And you say, well, I still have some of those tendencies. Well, we're going to work on that. Amen. Because that's your flesh. Okay? It's your flesh. All right. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Let me read verse 1. I'm reading that out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 1 says, and you he made alive when you were what? Dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Now listen to this. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendencies of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. That was me. I've told this story before, but I, you know, in it, to try to cover my own self, I used to mock Christians. I mean, I took it upon myself. When Becky and I were separated, I remember one night I'd been out drinking all night and doing things I had no business doing. And it was morning, and I was on my way back to my apartment. Had to cut through this neighborhood. And I pulled up by this church, and there were people walking in the church. You know, people gathered at the front, and they were walking in. Almost a Norman Rockwell kind of picture, you know. And I drove by there, and I rolled down my window and said, fools! I did that. Yeah, I mean, I knew those spirits real well. Now listen to the next verse, verse 3. Among these, listen to what Paul said. We, including himself, as well as you. Now, I know you think you've been holy your whole life. You hadn't. You know, you're not fooling anybody. This is what the Bible says. You once lived and conducted yourself in the passion of the flesh. It says our behavior governed by corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and dark imaginings. We were then by nature, everybody say nature, nature, children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. That's who we were. Now, you know, some of us were really good at it. I was really good at it. Not anything to be proud of. I was really a obedient, disobedient person. Other people, you know, they're raised in moral homes, and so they do most things right and do a lot of things right. But listen to me, that's probably more dangerous to Christianity than somebody who just know, well, I know I was a sinner. I know that fits me right to the T, man. Because you think you're okay. But you're not okay if you hadn't been born again. Amen. So it talks about the course of this world. Prince of the power of the air, spirit that works in disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. That doesn't mean you have to be a Satan worshiper to be this. It just means you have to be given over to the flesh. But God washed us. You got to always remember that. The devil wants to bring up your past. And you know where my past starts? Ends October 17th, 1974. That's when my past ended. That was the date. It ended. Well, have you been tempted? Absolutely, many times. Have you fallen off the wagon? No. No, I'm not bragging. Have I done everything right? No. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. No, I want my light to get brighter and brighter. Amen. Not bragging. I've had some dark times, embarrassing times. But listen to me. God's got a plan for us. It says, but we are washed. So let me read you another scripture. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Listen. In fact, let me read verse 2. I have to add this in. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior to man appeared. I love that. When the goodness of God appeared. Everybody still with me? The kindness of God appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Isn't that good? He saved us. Not by our own doing, but by his mercy. He saved us. Everybody still with me? How did he do that? All right, listen, through the washing, remember we're washed, right? The washing of regeneration. Okay? And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Washing and renewing. Okay? We're washed by regeneration and we're washed by renewing. So listen to this with me a minute, okay? The word regeneration, okay, the Greek word, it means palingenesis. It means again birth. Regeneration means again birth or born again. Okay? Born again. You come alive unto God. It's not a conscious thing. You have it for a moment and it leaves. Amen. You know who the most miserable person is? Is a born-again backslider. Because there's always something on the inside of them, gnawing on them, chewing on them. You know that's not right. You know you shouldn't live like that. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. Any of you ever heard that? You don't want to be honest about it, but it's true anyway. But when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, listen, you come alive to God. Doesn't mean you're not going to backslide. People do it, but listen to me. You can fight that. You can fight off God. He's not going to break your will. If he do that, listen, if God could break your will, if God could take your will away from you and you'd get saved, we wouldn't even be here. This would have been over a long time ago. But because we're created in the image of God, listen to me, he's not going to violate our will because he doesn't violate his own. Well, just pray that they get saved. Boy, I tell you, I wish I could do that. I can pray God to send laborers across their path. I can pray, you know, heaven and earth down on them till they finally give up. But it's still up to them. And I've watched people resist that. Well, God knocked me down till I was looking up. God didn't do that. Your circumstances. The Bible says in Jeremiah, I think it's 3:18, but I'm not positive. Your own sin disciplines you. Okay? Your own sin disciplines you. So, God Genesis'd you. Supernaturally created or recreated you. Just like when he said, let there be light. He recreated you. He Genesis'd you again. Everybody still with me? Okay. Then it says, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where a lot of people get in trouble. And listen, thank God when I first got saved, I had such a hunger for the Word that I didn't bypass this, because it doesn't matter how old you are, you're always renovating. You're always renovating. You're always renewing. Amen. Amen. You got to continually keep the dirt out of your well of salvation. You can't, amen. But the word there, renewing, means to renovate or to make new. I love what W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Word says. It says the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking toward the mind of God. That's what renovation does. You start thinking about the things of God. Your focus is more on that than it is on your life, your circumstances, all the things that revolve around you. Amen. And really, this is where the problem is. The problem is people are not renewing. Let me explain it to you another way, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He Genesis'd heaven and earth. Amen? And not only that, but he provided everything needed. And I don't want to go into creation tonight at all, but he created a garden. Amen? The Garden of Eden. And in that garden was everything that his creation needed. God turned it over to man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to what it says. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden. Now listen to this. To tend and to keep it. To tend and to keep it. He made a creation, including Adam and Eve. He put them in that garden, and then he said, now take care of it. He didn't say, just get your lawn chair out, sit back, enjoy this. I got it. That's not what he said at all. You know what he said? Take care of it. It's your responsibility now to take care of this garden. That word tend means to cultivate, to keep it, to protect it. That must mean it could have grown weeds and overrun. If they were responsible for taking care of it, that must mean there was some degeneration that could have taken place if they didn't. Everybody still with me? All right? So, let me show you this in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians, for we are God's fellow workers. Okay? Now listen to what Paul said. You are God's field. You're God's building. Okay? Let me say it this way. Okay? The King James says you're God's husbandry. Okay? The Amplified Bible says this. It says, you are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. So now, The regenesis is in you. And the cultivation and the responsibility for that cultivation is in you. And if you don't renew yourself to the Word of God, you can revert back to weeds. There's a responsibility. We have to tend our regenesis and make our garden, make who we are, grow. We have a responsibility to do that. You wonder why your life struggles as a believer and you're constantly battling the flesh. It's because you're not growing. You're not cultivating. You're not weeding your garden. You can have the most beautiful flowers around, but if you leave them alone, weeds will grow. And they'll take over. You have to be responsible. You are God's garden. You're His cultivation. You have to tend it. You have to cultivate it. That regenesis is in you. Thank God we have the help of the Holy Spirit to work with us and to help us with that renovation, that renewing in our lives. Everybody still with me? So what does that look like? All right, let me read you some scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. By the way, these are not isolated scriptures, okay? I'm just using these because it'll help you. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, now listen, in the futility of their mind. What is it? What are you saying? You can't walk the way you used to walk. You can't do it. Well, I'm drawn to it. Dig it up. Get your hoe out and start chopping. Verse 22, listen to this. Put off concerning your former conduct. You know, I'm amazed at, listen to me, I'm amazed at how many people don't think their conduct doesn't matter. It does. You got to go read your Bible. Your conduct matters. How you behave, how you act, but matters. You can't do what everybody else does. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Hey, you ain't got that much left. You better hang on to what you got. Now listen, I don't want to give you a way out, but we're not perfect, right? But we're responsible. Do you know, I'm not looking forward to Jesus coming back. You know why? Because I'm going to have to explain to Him all these stupid things that I've done in my body. Oh, they're all forgiven. You're going to have to explain some things, Lucy. You never saw that show, you wouldn't understand that. Anyway, all right, listen to what it says. Put off, Paul is trying to tell us how to cultivate. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So you keep that old conduct, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get corrupted. Weeds are going to start growing. And then you wonder why your life's not going the way it ought to go. You start letting lust and deceitful desires and things start springing up in your life, and all of a sudden, you're going to start separating yourself. You're going to be a weed garden instead of God's garden. Full of corruptible things. Aren't you glad you came to church on this rainy night? I know you're watching tonight. I don't know your name, but I know you're watching. Amen. So, well, what do you do? Well, listen to what it says in verse 23. Be renewed, renovated in the spirit of your mind. Whose job is that? Your job. Well, just preach something to me. I am. See, I know I may be kind of sound a little rough tonight about it, but listen, I'm your pastor. I can't fix anything by a sermon if you don't obey it. And just making you jump and shout is not going to help you a whole lot, because you're going to go out and lose your temper in the parking lot before you ever get out of church. Or honk your horn and get angry because somebody won't let you out, or somebody pulls in front of you, or something else happens in your life. Be renewed, listen to me, in the spirit of your mind. I like this translation. Fresh mental and spiritual attitude created according to God. He tells us how to do it. Paul says in verse 24, listen, that you put on the new man. All right, you ready? Which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You have to put on that new creation. God gives you the power to do it, but you got to do it. You know, that first flush of being born again, it can carry you a long way. It carries you a long way. But then you run into the reality of life. And how am I going to live my life now? How am I going to conduct myself now that I am born again? I have got to find the new rules, the new way to live. And the only way to do that is to renew, renovate your mind. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. I don't know whether you can get any more blunt than that. But be transformed. The word there, transformed, is a word we get metamorphosis from. You know, where the caterpillar turns into the butterfly? That's us. Amen. We transform, and it's not overnight. Amen. We've got to. It says, "Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed." How do I do that? By the renewing of your mind. Start thinking, and listen. Start thinking with a fresh mental and spiritual attitude created according to God. By the renewing of your mind. So if you're not working on your head, you're not renewing your mind. Amen. You're not. Why do we do that? Well, listen to the last part. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. That's where. And listen, renovation is a continual change. You're always renovating. There's always something that needs to change. You don't measure yourself against somebody else. Amen. You have to deal with it yourself. And their attitudes and their motives and their thoughts and things that nobody's in your head but you. Nobody's in your head. And you got to be responsible for your own garden. Amen. You've got to be responsible. There's a continual change. Colossians 3:10. Listen to this. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, here it is, who created him. We're trying to get over there with God. We're trying to get over there with Jesus. These things that he wants for our lives and lifestyle that he wants for us is so that we can be more like him. Just make me more like you. Not going to happen. You can sing that all day long. I want to be more like you, then renew your mind. Oh, Lord, just zap me. It's not going to happen. We're responsible for our own garden. Amen. Amen. Well, I can get along. Well, get along until you can't, then you're going to be in trouble. Amen. Now listen, you've got to understand something. I am not trying to preach something perfect to you or something nobody can do. Paul said this is the way we live. This is the way the Regenesis lives its life. It puts on the new man renewed in knowledge. That's how we live. According to the image of him who created us. God Regenesis that man gave us his word to tell us how to do it and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. Now, you want to know where you are and how you measure up? Would you like to know? You don't want to know, do you? Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you anyway. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here it is, you ready? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. I know you're begging me, please stop, stop. That's because you're not long-suffering. Bearing with one another. Uh-oh, here's another one. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Oh, wait a minute. That says must do. Oh, my goodness. But above all these things, put on love. You want to know what love is? Go read 1 Corinthians 13. And if you're really bold, go read it in the Amplified Bible. And say, you got to do that. Yeah, amen. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, that's just the kickoff. That's just the beginning. That's just where we start. That's where we operate from. But here's what happens. You want to know what happens when you start living that way? Fruit starts growing in your garden. You want to know what kind of fruit starts growing? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, which is self-control, by the way. Fruit starts growing. Yeah. Amen. So you want to measure yourself. How much fruit are you growing? So here's the thing. You have to keep the old man out of your garden. Hate starts to rise up. Anger starts to rise up. Bitterness, all these things. Lust, something you know you ain't got no business watching on TV, but nobody's around. Nobody's going, hey, you're the one watching it. Just saying. You gotta fight that off. Because it'll show up. And you gotta fight it. You gotta deal with it. It's your responsibility. You have to keep the old man out of the garden. Now I know this is gonna be funny, but I'm gonna quote Clint Eastwood. And I'm not going to quote, well, I am, but it's not what I'm going to talk about. Say, make my day. No, that's not what I'm going to say. Somebody asked him one time, how do you, he's 93, I think, how do you do this every day? And he said, I just don't let the old man out. I like that. Don't let the old man out. Run him out of the garden. Talk to him. Hey, that's not me. I don't live that way. I'm not going to think like that. Hey, I still do that. Stuff pops up in your mind, just start rebuking it. Rebuke the devil. I'm not thinking like that. I'm a child of God. That doesn't belong in me. Don't let the old man out. Don't let him come around. Now listen. This is not legal do's and don'ts where you check the box. Listen to me. This is the regenesis. This is how we live. This is what makes us different. It's not going to heaven that makes us different, although that is definitely different. It's how you're living on this earth, how other people see you in your life. It's being who God recreated you to be. Amen. So let me just read this last portion and I'm going to be through. But you might want to go study this. It's not hard to find. I said it's not hard to find. These are not deep hidden secrets. This is life. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Man, I'm glad it says it that way. Because everybody's had that opportunity, but don't sin. Back off. Back down. Back away. Amen? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. I could stop there for a while. Let him who steals, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Any of you been clamoring? Yeah, that's loud quarrels. That's when you start raising your voice. I never do that. I live with a raised voice. But anyway. Loud clamor, evil speaking, put it away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Pretty good stuff. Amen. So, you got to start renewing. You got to start digging. Listen. Here's the thing I know about, I believe about most Christians. I don't believe they really want those things in their life. They've just become habitual. and you've got to do something about it. Amen. Now, we don't live way out in the country, but we live on a semi-country road, and there's this field right across the street from your house, Donna. Big field, okay? Now, I notice this all the time. I'm gonna talk to your husband about it. Every summer, there's one big round patch of Johnson grass. They cut that for hay. And there's one probably 40 feet by 40 feet of Johnson grass, which is worthless. Right in the middle of that pretty field, there's Johnson grass. Now, here's the thing. If you got Johnson grass growing in your field, you need to get rid of it. Because it just makes the rest of the field look ugly. Not only that, when they cut it and the horses or the cows eat it, they spit it out because it's bitter. Amen. So most people, if you're sincere, and I mean if you're in church tonight, you're sincere. You want to be here. You want to learn. You don't want those things, but they've gotten to be habitual because every year that gossip, John, I mean, I've been living out there a long time. Every year, I want to go take some Roundup and just spray it and kill all of it. Then Billy Grisham would kill me, but I sprayed Johnson grass in his yard. But anyway. But the point is, you can't live with that in your life. You don't like it. You're in there. You say, well, it's just so much. Well, pick one at a time. Amen. I mean, if you've been in this church very long, you know, I've told you this, I'm finished, but I was a habitual liar. I mean, it just came out of my mouth. I'd rather tell a lie than tell the truth sometimes. It was just, I don't know where it came from, but I didn't like it when I got saved. I realized this is a habit. This is Johnson grass. I'm not having it. So I said, Lord, how do I get this out? And you know what the Lord told me? How many of you heard this story before? Yeah, you know what he told me? Every time you lie, just stop right there and say, I'm sorry, I was lying. You know, it didn't take me very long at all to get that out of my garden. Now, every time, it still rises up. Every once in a while, no, you don't. Those are not growing in my yard anymore. No, they're not growing in my yard anymore. And you pull it up. And you replace it with the Word of God. So how do you start? Well, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come fresh in you to help you. Help you with that. And I'll tell you, the best thing you can do is ask him to convict you. He will. He wants to help you. Because listen, eventually that stuff will mess your life up. It'll mess with your life if you don't deal with it. Amen? So we got the regenesis. We got to take care of that garden. Amen? We got to clean our own garden. And we can. The Word of God tells us we can. Amen?